بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. This surah we will discuss tonight, inshallah, is Wal-Asr, and how Allah Tabarakala has placed it before a few other surahs which give its meaning. The qiraat that was recited just before I began, amazing it is that last night the student who recited qiraat, when I was in Dundee, he recited the same verses. And as he was reciting it, I thought about that before the bayan, I'll speak about these verses because of the meanings being so important. And then because while speaking, then I forgot about it and then it left. And now when I heard him reading it again a thought came. So I said, now I'd rather start it, otherwise it will get forgotten. It also has some relationship with the surah. The surah starts with, by the oath of time, wal-asr, by the oath of time. Our relationship to time and time's relationship to us. Our relationship to time is that we have to make sure we get the work done before it's too late. That's our relationship. And that is what the surah is going to speak about. It's going to speak about, don't think your wealth is ever going to help you in this world. If you don't get your work done before time, it's like a worker in the business who thinks, I'm very wealthy, I've got a top job. But if you don't meet that deadline, there are those people who get top contracts with very big companies. But that company makes you sign that if you're not going to make it on this date, we're not buying anything from you. Whatever then you acquired also, all is yours. We don't want 1 cent at all. You will have to get it in your time, otherwise it's gone. Well, us, by the oath of time. In that time, if you can get your work done, whatever you got done, Mubarak. But if that man doesn't make it, just before the ending, he collapses. He just says, I'll get it done in the next 1 day, 1 year, 5 years. How many people before COVID said that now we're going to make our Hajj soon? At that time, they had that 50, 60,000. COVID came, he just stopped them. Then COVID lifted, now they're looking at 150,000. Now that same person said, I should have made that Hajj time. But sometimes you just don't grab it on the opportunity. We'll go back and try to come back to this ayat of Quran. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu narrates that he was amongst his camp during the days when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving da'wah in Mina. So every year when the days of Hajj would come, Arabs from all over would come. This was the time that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go looking. He would visit the tribe, he would say who he is, he would say, will you take me back to your land? Will you protect me from all sides? And they would say, what will you give us in return? He says, Allah has promised paradise. You will be my helper in this world, I will be with you till the ending. And year after year he would go. Sometimes the people would respect him and honor him, but then they would say that it's a little difficult. And sometimes they would be very rude. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle Abu Lahab, he would be moving behind. He would see him talking. As Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go past, he would come to the people. He said, did he come here? They would say yes. He said, don't worry about him, he's my nephew. And an uncle knows about his nephew more than anyone else. They would say, definitely, he's a man of your family. He would say, he's not right in his head. Whatever he told you, just leave it here. People will say, it sounded very nice, but if you say, then we will leave it. There were times where they would find Nabi Sansom's uncle Abu Lahab from behind throwing stones also. Throwing stones and says, don't fall in the lie of my nephew. Nabi Sansom would look at his uncle and then try to move away in the camp. It wasn't an easy time. 1 year, second year, third year, fourth year, so many years he went. So the Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, I was at one time in a camp with my people, we were very close to the first Jamarah. He says, I remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to us. He came on a camel. Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu anhu was Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's adopted son. He was behind. Then they stopped the camel, he got off and he came. He began reading to us some Quran. He said, it sounded so unique. So Maysara said to the people around, Maysara bin Masruq, most likely his name was, radiallahu anhu, I'm not so sure of the name. He said to the people around, have you ever heard something like this? He said, I can tell you a day will come where this voice will be all over in the world. If we can grab him now and take him, then his fame will be our fame. So somebody else said, they don't jump into any issue. Do you have the strength to look after him? What if our people are upset? So he said, I went quiet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then looked at him, and because he said, what wonderful speech, he had hope. So he said, don't worry about your nation. What about you? Like, will you listen to me? Accept me. So he said, you know, I would love to accept your message, but if a man doesn't have his nation with him, if the nation doesn't give him support, then where is he going to expect to stand up against the enemy? So he says, a man is with his home, with his nation. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up, went on his camel and carried on. So they returned. As they're returning, he told the people that, you know, in Khaybar, in Fidak, there are a lot of Jews. And these Jews, they know a lot of things of what is known as the messengers. So because we are on that way, can't we just stop by them? And the Arabs had a lot of respect for the Jews. Ask them that, what is this? Is there a messenger, a last messenger? So they come to this group. One Jew amongst them, he entertains them, they have their meal by him, whatever it is. Then they ask him, we met so and so person. So he takes out the books. He says, in our books it is recorded that the final messenger of Almighty Allah, he will be on a camel. So it was exactly as they saw him coming. He said his hair will not be too straight, it will not be too curvy. He said he won't be too tall, he won't be too short. And then he described the eye color. As he was describing, the group that saw him, they said, this is the man. So he saw it on their faces, so he stopped. He said, if you already feel that that's the individual, then he is the messenger of Allah. He says, there will not be an Arab who either will fight against him or will fight for him. He said, you rather be of the group that fights for him. It was meaning the group that fights against, they're not going to win. He said, if you can grab him, because I can tell you us, our nature is we will not manage to accept him because he's not ours. He said, for us to accept an Arab, and then to put ourselves under the Arab, he said, I can tell you it's not going to happen. Rather, what I see is a lot of wars are going to take place with us and with him. But if you want to grab him. So as they left, he said to the people, didn't I tell you, what an opportunity. Where are we going to get this chance? So they said, nothing is like so important. This year we went for Hajj, next year again we'll go for Hajj. Next year again we'll go for Hajj. So they came back and they told their tribe what was happening. Obviously the leader was not too happy to hear that somebody else will be coming and he might take over my position. So the following year, whenever the groups wanted to go for the Hajj, the leader did something to hold them back. By that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already accepted by the people of Medina Munawwara. He went over to Medina Munawwara. Then there was the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Meaning 10 years now, because now during the Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not coming for Hajj. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Then Hajj Makkah Mukarramah has now been conquered. Now the talk is in all the Arabs. Yes, at that time I come. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at me, looking like, I know you. He said, I was that man. Do you remember you came? He said, you were there by the first Jamara. He said, what happened to your people? So he said, I looked down. And I said, they did say next year we will come. Barrier after barrier after barrier. Our leaders just put barriers. Time, this is. It's called grab the occasion while you can. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so where are your companions? And he said, I looked down. And he says, all of them have passed away. Then he asked, O Allah's Nabi, what will be their fate? Nabi Sansun looked down. And he says, that person who dies on a faith besides Islam, then his road is towards the fire of Jahannam. That's the normal principle. Details about each individual and what they died, no one know, but the principle is. He says, I look down. Then he said, I thank Almighty Allah that when everyone else lost the opportunity, at least he gave me the chance to grab this. He said, let me take the Shahada. He accepted Islam. That sentence of his mouth. Where are the companions? He said, every one of them has passed. What was it? It was an occasion that came, wal asri, by the oath of time. If you miss it, you will cry. Time. It's an occasion to grab. Don't ever say next year. When people say now to me, the Hajj is very expensive. My answer is, remember, Hajj was never cheap. But if it got more expensive, don't expect it next year to get cheap after this. Just like how we all know when you look at the petrol price. Few years ago when it started going up, whoever thought it might one day come down, let me not drive for the next 2 years. Petrol was never going to come down. The law was just carry on paying and carry on moving. Because next year it's going to be even more expensive. In this world, if you want to do something, do it now. Because tomorrow is not going to be an easier day. Things will become more harder. A person says, I want to buy a house on credit. Immediately we'll say, remember time. Don't play with time. Don't play with time means, perhaps in the past when the world was moving like a lake. In a lake you never see waves. Because of which you said, take my boat out on the lake. And you will just see that boat moving smoothly. But the ocean is such that in the ocean, if it's looking smooth now, you tell the person by night you will see the waves coming up and down. We're living in a time where it is wavy. We are no longer with lakes. If a person says, I'm taking this house on credit, I ask him how long it will take you to pay. He says, 25 years, I say, by the custom of time, well lost. At the qasam of time, meaning don't play with time. 25 years, you really think you're going to survive? 25 years, you're saying that it must be a lake. There must be no waves. There must be no collapses of the market. There must be no COVID. There must be no droughts. There must be no turmoil. There must be no war. If everything goes right for 25 years, I'm okay, I paid my house. Say, what if something goes wrong for 1 year? Say, I'm born. See, then think about it again. You're living in a time, don't go into credit. Wal asri, don't play with time. Imam Shafi, rahimullah, said, I sat in the company of the pious people. Said, one lesson I learned, they told me, time is like a sword. Many meanings it has, but one, don't play with time, it's sharp. But the person always says, I got Lord time. The answer is, you don't have Lord time. Every day when we're looking at the news, it's like something is going to happen around the corner. One war will just finish, another one will come up. That one is just finished, another issue will come up. Tomorrow they'll say, we got the lights on, suddenly they'll say, but we got no water. Allah save us all. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the days leading up towards the emergence of Dajjal, he spoke about days of droughts. Terrible droughts, where the skies will hold back their waters. One third of the vegetation will not be coming out. During those days, what will be the condition of the world? Where you're looking for something to eat, but the market can't produce. The man said, I never have money last year, but there was food. Now I got money, there's no food. COVID was only a glimpse of what can happen. Unique things can happen in the world. And Allah's Rasul, when he spoke about it, he said it's going to happen, this wal asri, by the oath of time. Don't play with time. Those people who thought that their money will help them, the next surah after wal asr, little Arabic we know, Allah tabarakallah says, الذي جمع ماله. That man who gathered his wealth and he thought that it will keep him alive forever. Said, where it kept him alive? Billionaires went into the grave and their billions remained outside. Billionaires. جَمَعَ مَالًا. He just gathered wealth and he counted wealth, gathered wealth and he counted wealth. He played with time. As that wealth came in, if he wanted to, he could have grabbed the opportunity. Today I'm looking at my bank accounts. I say 50,000 rands. So must I count it to make sure it stays 50,000 tomorrow, or grab the opportunity and say from 50,000, let me grab the opportunity and say 500 rand, give it in charity? Or will I say, let me wait for tomorrow and then I give it? Harun al-Rashid was a khalif, a very unique khalif of the Abbasid Empire. Many pious people benefited from his wealth and he benefited from their advices. They would have wives and they would have slave girls. From amongst his wives, Zubaydah was most famous. Many dreams were seen regarding her and getting paradise in her life and after. A lot of good she did. She was the wife of the Khalif, but she was open in standing. So she walks past the gathering of a very pious man who's sitting with some young children. And they're at that moment making some, like what we will call, clay pots. You make a clay pot and then you go and distribute it, like the young child takes it and gives it to this person, uncle, you can use my bowl. So as she's going past, she's the queen, and the pocket of a queen is never empty. And normally when me and you think about, you say, yeah, the king and queens, they must spend, they got enough money in their pockets. But me and you also got little money in our pockets. Grab the occasion. If you can't give 5 million, give 5 rands. But never ever hold and say, tomorrow I will spend, because tomorrow might not come. The world might see a time where the bank say they shut down. When the bank shut down, then whatever we earned and owned, which was just digits, 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 digits. Now I'm trying to go into my account and they say shut down total in the world. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come, besides gold and silver, nothing will be of benefit to mankind. Who knows whether we see that day? Allah save us all from difficulties. But don't ever play with time. Love the day and make the best of it. And don't have that high expectations to tomorrow, because if tomorrow doesn't come, we must say, but no problem, I loved yesterday. She walked past and he was making that pot. So she asked him, what are you doing? So he said, I'm building paradise. Building paradise. Because we're making this thing and we're going to distribute it, like that man will get that man. So we do work and we're giving it. He said, I'm building paradise. So she said, how much does paradise cost? So he said, 100 dirhams. 100 dirhams means 100 silver coins. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't little also, but it wasn't a very big amount. And for a queen, 100. So she told the one slave of hers, give him 100. Tell him I want to buy paradise. So he, with that 100 dirhams winning, he said, so many pots now will be distributed. Go there, give it to the poor person, give it to that family, give it to that family. Because 100 dirhams now, we bought so many. So as she was going, he asked her, you want the receipt? So she, for her also, it was like a joke, who will give you a receipt for Jannah? So he asked her, you want the receipt? She said, if you can write the receipt for me, I won't mind, you'll bring it to my palace. That night she has a dream. And in the dream she sees her palace and the different levels of the palace. And as she's walking in towards it, one angel comes to her. And he says, here's your receipt, and it's written in gold, purchased for 100 dirhams. So she wakes up and she tells the Khalif, what a dream, I saw 100 dirhams, I bought Jannah. Immediately he says, go find that man. Find him. So they bring this person. He says, I also want to buy Jannah. So the person looks at him and says, what are you talking about? He said, my wife had a dream. Like, what a dream she had. She bought Jannah from you. So can't you sell me paradise? So what a sentence, he said. He said, paradise was purchased because she paid before she saw. You want to pay after you saw. He said, you can't buy it like that. She paid before she saw. Sometimes me and you get the chance. We are not having the dream. But the words of Rasulullah for me and you is much more than a dream. Do not be stingy with what you got today because, well, Asri, don't play with time. So the next surah is, Alladhi jama'a ma'lahu wa'adda. He just gathered well, counted, gathered, counted. Allah says, wailun. That for him is gone, destroyed. Wealth was not going to help. They played with time. Then there is power. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Most of us know the incident in the surah Abraha. Mighty he was as a king, as a leader. Because he looked at the people under him, he forgot the one that was above him. So when he saw people going to the Kaaba to make tawaf, he said, what are you going in that direction from where I am a leader? He said, I am in charge, I am acting on the authority of the king of Abyssinia. But entire Africa was known at that time, the Habshi Empire. He was acting on behalf of them. What an authority, he said, I am, and you going somewhere else? He said, if anyone's house has the right to be honored, it is the house of the king. So he said, here in Yemen, I will build for you all a house for the king. You don't have to go to Abyssinia to go see it. But what are you going there to Makkah for? He said, if you want to really show honor to the king, come and build honor. This is iqtidar, it's called power. The man of power is told, don't play with time. Meaning Allah gave him honor, Allah gave him power. Abraha was a person who was no one in the lines of greatness. He got a unique history that from nowhere he rose. We call it from ashes to hero. If someone had to tell Abraha, who brought you so high, at that time he would have definitely said, it is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He was no one, Abraha, no one. But when he came to his power, it's called don't play with time. That as time brought you so high, time can bring you back to the ground. Don't play with time. Wal asri. It is a sword that can cut very hard. When a man makes oppression on somebody else, he wants to see results. Like, who can tell me what to do? Sometimes when a divorce takes place, we say to the man, that remember Allah allowed divorce, but He never allowed your type divorce. Allah Tabaruk Tala said, in a nice manner separate. There must be no swearing, there must be no wild words. There must be no, I will show you. He said, don't play with time. Because time is such a sword that it takes its time to cut. And that man then thinks what he's doing and he starts a life. And he sees himself going up a hill and within a few years the whole world sees him coming down there. And the day you meet the man and everything of the man is gone. His honor, his family, his health, his wealth. And you see him lying there and you ask, what cut you? It will be said, time cut. Don't ever play with time. Sometimes you want to see immediate, like, who can stop me? Wal asri, like the oath of time. Abraha said, my house, two Arabs came. He said to them, where are you going? They said, to the house of God. Arabs had the love of the Kaaba in that era already. Ibrahim alayhi salam put it up. He became upset. He said, you will stay here by me. What you are going there? I will host you and I'll put you up in a place of entertainment. This is something. So those Arabs were really irritated that are you building something better than the house of Allah? So that night when he left them in that place, they decided to mess the entire place. And Arabs, when they had their shan, they messed it in a very, very dirty manner. And in the morning, before anyone came, they ran. The guards came and they began looking at what had happened. The stench that was coming. They went to tell Abraha, these Arabs, you know what they did? Now when you become irritated. He's supposed to be irritated with two Arabs, but when you get angry, you say, I'll take it out on who? He said, I'll show revenge that I'll break the house of the Allah. But the question would have been, but did Allah come and break your house? Like, what you got to do with Allah's house? If you're angry with the Arabs, find them and catch them. But when man got that, I will show. So he calls his elephants. He calls his armies. From Abyssinia, elephants are sent. Africa. From Africa, the king of Abyssinia sends elephants. Arabs had never seen elephants coming in this manner to fight. How are they going to fight against it? Alam tara kaifa Allah tabarakala says, you all know the incident. We never needed Jibreel alayhi salam to come. We sent small birds with small pebbles. It dropped the pebble, it went through the soldier, through the elephant. Through the soldier, through the elephant. Alam tara kaifa. He played with time. He was given the chance to become a mighty leader. They don't play with time. He decided to do things which time wasn't going to allow. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ As the Arabs would now move after the incident of Abraham, the people around the Arabs became so amazed with the Quraysh. They said, these people are such for their house, the birds threw stones, don't ever touch them. Now the Arabs, Quraysh, if they were going in the deserts, going to Yemen, going to Sham, as soon as they saw a caravan written Quraysh, even the highway robber was not going to touch it. Even the highway robber was not going to touch. Li'ila fi Quraysh. Now they were enjoying their journeys. But man's nature is when things become easy, we forget who made it easy. In this country, people will speak about, we saw the era of apartheid. It was just around. At that time, nothing was easy. Then it wrapped up. When it wrapped up, I remember at that time we were young, we were studying Hibs. There was that fear, what if they attack all of us? What if everyone is either killed or is to leave the country? At that time, in every masjid, Surah Yasin was being read. People were worried, what's going to happen? People were stocking up with food. And Allah Tabarakallah said, no, let it go easy. When it became easy, all of us forgot who made it easy. And life then started in this country where wealth began making the Muslims of this country also on levels where to show off and to waste and to swear and to say, I will do what I want and to have words of atheism. And for Muslim families to say, but why did Islam ask us? All of that started when? When easy conditions came and they forgot who made it easy. So as the Arabs were going through the deserts, no highway robber was touching. Until they began thinking, it's because we are Quraysh. They forgot that just the other day the elephants of Abraha was coming and you were running for your life. Allah Tabarakallah says, الَّذِي أَطَعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ They must not forget that when droughts come, that same Quraysh then are looking in the skies. That same Quraysh, they forget all their stories now. Me and you, we living in such ease and peace, suddenly COVID came. We all were confused. The rich were confused, the poor was, the master was, the worker was, everyone was. COVID came to an end. Eskom said, I don't have coal. Everyone is gone. Everyone is gone. One thing comes to remind you that you know your ease. It is easy because someone is making it easy. Don't ever forget. Wal asri, don't play with time. The Quraysh, they enjoyed the days when they were moving so nicely. So as it was going, you say, right, it will always go easy. Don't ever play with time. As we are going easy, it doesn't guarantee it will continue going. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ Fourth surah. That man who said, I got no time for deen. I got no time for salah. I got entertainment to worry about in the nights. I only sleep 2 or 3 o'clock in the mornings. For me to wake up for fajr is very hard. When Asr comes, that's my busiest time. Allah Ta'ala says, did you not see the man who when it is to stand up for salah, he's just lazy attitude. He doesn't want to go. When it is to give what he has to give, he just holds back. Small, small things also, he doesn't want to give it. He said, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي. Meaning, you think he was going to survive by the oath of time. The man who was lazy with regards to his salah and his zakat. The man who thought that since my journeys are easy, it will always be easy. The man who thought, since I got my elephants, I can bring down the house of Allah. The man who used to gather and count his wealth, Allah Tabarakala is asking like a question, what happened to all of them? Me and you know the answer. That time showed every one of them to be a failure. This is that wal asr, by the oath of time. So that is one, our relationship to time. Grab the opportunity, don't waste. And the other was what was recited in the Qiraat. Relationship of time with us. Relationship of time with us is, time is the boss, we are not the boss. So if something has to happen on its time, don't jump it before its time. If something has to happen on its time, we have to do to make sure we don't miss the time. As for the other, why is it not happening? Their time says, remember, I am the boss. I move with the decision of Allah. When He says, happen, I'll happen. If He says, wait, I will wait. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a dream. So many years they are not in Makkah, Mukarrama. They have left it and gone to Medina Munawwara. Every year the Hajj is taking place, but the Muslims cannot go for the Hajj. Then he has a dream. In the dream he sees they are making Umrah. What a dream of a Nabi, what a truth it is. He mentions to a few around, I saw a dream. What dream? We are making Umrah, the news spreads immediately. We are making Umrah. Everyone starts getting ready, we're going for Umrah. That house of Allah which hasn't been seen will be seen, 1,500 Sahaba ready. So fast the news has spread, 1,500. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sees everyone ready. He said, let's go. Preparation is made. 1,500. They got the animals. It is known that the Quraysh respect the animals that are coming to the house of Allah. They will not touch them. Then have the garlands. They got marks on them. As they are coming, the Quraysh says, we will never allow this group to come. They don't even have weapons with them. Khalid bin Walid at that time is not Muslim, radiallahu anhu. He is already sent to wait in a certain spot when the Muslims will come attack. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he is coming, then the camel just sits. So the Sahabi gives it a knock to say, stand, you stubborn camel, stand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wallah, my camel is not stubborn. My camel is not stubborn. He says, but the one who stopped the elephants of Abraha, that one has stopped my camel. He said, leave it. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to his camel, stand. And the camel stands and it takes another turn. And it moves in the direction of Hudaybiyah. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, later on he will explain his reasons of accepting Islam. He says, one was on that occasion. He says, I was waiting around the corner. As that group was going to come, we were going to launch that attack. There was going to be bloodshed. So then we're waiting. And then I got the news that they are moving towards the waters of Arabia. He said, as I saw them moving, I said, this man is divinely protected. And how did he know, don't come in this direction? He said, my camel is not stubborn. Everything got its time. Now they reach Hudaybiyah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam puts camp. Water is very little. Miraculously, he makes the water starts coming out. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are using that water. You got 1,500 in a land where there's hardly any water. That's why it's called Hudaybiyah. Now they are there stuck. They just want to enter into Makkah Mukarramah. It's like me and you when we're going for Umrah. And now we're really tired and it's hot. And now at the airport they say all the computers are off. Now everyone is stuck there in one small room. How irritated you become. Now 1,500 are stuck, not in an airport. Under nowhere. little water, it's hot. They want to just make that Umrah. And now the Arabs, the Quraysh, they send a messenger like, what do you all want? Nabi Sallallahu said, I haven't come to fight. I haven't come to fight. Can't you see these animals? Can't you see the people? Do you think they are warriors? They only want to see the house of Allah. He goes back, he says to the Quraysh, you know how they we always respect the person coming for the Hajj, for Umrah. He said, but what will the Arabs say? The Arabs of the world will say he came with his force and we were unable to say no. They said, no way. Another group, another person comes. Again a discussion. And it's carrying on. Sometimes the ambassador, the messenger is good, sometimes it's bad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting. Then the Quraysh send one ambassador, Suhail. The word Suhail comes from Sahal. Sahal, Suhail, same thing. It means easy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, since easy is coming, meaning Suhail, I think now our matter is going to become very easy. So Suhail bin Amr comes and he says, what do you all want? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, see, a war has finished, John. Why must we carry on fighting? Let's stop this war. I have come to see the house of Allah. Let's have no war. Suhail bin Amr was waiting for this. The Quraysh were tired of war. All their supplies were finished. He said, this is what we want. No war for 10 years. So in 10 years we can gather all our strength. He said, I got no problem. No war. But then Suhail says, but other conditions we also got. Other conditions. So what conditions? He says, if a person from you, Medina, gets tired of your faith and comes away to Makkah, no problem. But if a man from Makkah decides to bring your faith and leave the faith of our forefathers, if he comes away to you, you will have to send him back. The Arabs are like amazed, like what a condition this is, so unfair. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I already promised that any condition which is not against the command of Allah, I will allow it. He says, no problem. As they are making that condition, the Suhail bin Amr's own son is a Muslim. Own son, he's changed for so many years, his father is punishing him, own son. He hears the Muslims are not far, they're in Hudaybiyah. I just need to get from Makkah to Hudaybiyah. He has chains around his legs. He has chains by his neck. He manages to escape the house and now he's running. Hudaybiyah is not near Makkah. And with those chains, they say when he reaches, it's like a man who just falls down. The Sahaba pull him in. They say, brother, you are safe. Don't worry. We'll never hand you over. The news comes to Suhail. They are just going to sign. And then Suhail says, the first person to be returned is that one. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, but we haven't yet made the contract. So he can't be part of it. He says, you don't send him back, this entire contract is cancelled. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking at him and say, have mercy on him. It's your own son. He says, for my sake, please. He says, you don't send my son back. Later on, Suhail bin Amr is going to accept Islam. He's going to say one day when crying, I can remember my pride in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he's telling me, please, like, we haven't yet signed, send him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at his sahaba, he looks at the boy and he says, you know what? Will you go back? The boy says, are you sending me back to torture? How hard it was. During that time, everyone is thinking about, but what about the dream? Where's the dream? They're making the contract. Ali radiallahu anhu writes, this is a contract between Muhammad, the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and immediately Suhail said, hey, hold on. He said, if we regarded him to be Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, there'll be no fight between us. You will write there, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Ali radiallahu anhu looks at him and he says, I want to kill you. He says, you write there, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Ali radiallahu anhu, write it. Ali radiallahu anhu can't, because it means you have to scratch out Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, scratch it out. He says, can't. It's okay, show me where it is. ink. Nabi Sallam puts his hand over it. And he says, by the qasam of Allah, I am Muhammad, the Rasul of Allah, even if you don't want to accept. But no problem, right? Muhammad, the son of Allah. He said, but I will still remain the Rasul of Allah. He said, what else? Right? Now the condition is ending, that the Muslims will return from here and go back to Medina. No Umrah. He said, but we made the condition. So now what's the problem? Right here. He said, not this year. The Arabs will speak. You all will go back. Go back. Come back next year. Next year I give you all 3 days. So come, make your Umrah. We'll go out. Make your Umrah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no problem. That's when many Sahaba are now boiling. Umar radiallahu anhu goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, did the Nabi of Allah not have a dream like that we are making the Umrah? Abu Bakr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I did have the dream, but did I tell you it is this year? Meaning the dream saw the Umrah, but did he tell you that it's this year? That I never saw. That's what we understood. And we play force time. Can't force time. He said, are we not on the truth? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we are on the truth. He said, are they not on falsehood? He said, they are on falsehood. He said, then why must we be disgraced? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we are on the truth. They are on falsehood. But the decision of Allah will reign supreme. Abu Bakr radiallahu, Umar radiallahu is still upset. He goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu. Same question he asks. He says, did Allah's Nabi not have a dream that we are making Umrah? Abu Bakr radiallahu gives same answer. He says, but did he tell you it this year? We understood wrong. He says, are we not on the truth? He said, we are. Are they not on falsehood? They are on falsehood. But the decision of Allah will reign supreme. Umar radiallahu is still so upset. Everyone is boiling. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking at his Sahaba, they like crying. His wife says to him that you now go and cut your hair. Once you cut your hair, it's saying to all of them, you know what? We're coming out of Ihram, let's go home. She says, your Sahaba are not stubborn. They are waiting for Jibreel Alayhi Salaam to come. That's why you're telling them, cut your hair, no one will cut it. Said, you cut your hair, which means that now no Jibreel is coming. This is the decision. Come out of Ihram. We will come back next year for Umrah, Qadha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes out and he cuts his hair. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu see it, they start cutting the hair. But the Sahabi says the manner they were cutting the hair, like each one is going to cut the other one's head off. They were crying. And now the Jamaat, 1,500 crying, is going back. Crying. But now the treaty started. The following year, the Muslims come for the Umrah. 3 days, the Quraysh goes to the mountains. Those from the mountains who are looking, those that are in the city looking, the women, they are seeing this Jamaat coming, they are making the Tawaf, they are making the Sa'i. It's a different Umrah from what they were used to. There's no dancing, there's no clapping, they're looking at it. Now because of the truce, the people from Makkah are going to Medina. As they are going to Medina, day by day, Muslim, another one is becoming Muslim. Another one is becoming Muslim. The law is if someone becomes Muslim, you have to send him back. So sending back is no problem. The man is running away somewhere else. Now more and more people are becoming Muslim and running away into the deserts and getting their own Jamaat. And the love of Islam is just gathering, gathering, gathering. And then something happened with the Quraysh. It was a 10-year truce. But within 2 years, the Quraysh couldn't keep up with it. They broke it. Soon as they broke it, Nabi Hassan told his Sahaba, now is the time. Only 2 years, but the truth was written for 10 years. 10 years. He said, now is the time. And the Jamaat, suddenly 1,500. In 2 years, as they move out, it has become 10,000. 1,500 has now become 10,000. A Jamaat of 10,000 starts going back in the direction of Makkah Mukarramah. The Quraysh know something is going to happen. They got their spies out, but how this unique army went. They never picked up right till the Muslims were entered. They saw a fire in the distance. They're sitting and saying, whose fire is that? He said, we heard of this tribe here. They're moving, grazing fields. He said, only they got so many men. Somebody else said, but they don't have such a big fire. They said, maybe it's this other person. I heard of two groups having war. Maybe it's them. Someone comes running and saying, you fools, that is Muhammad and his army. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man says, since when his army became so big? 1,500 has become 10,000. 10,000 people enter Makkah Mukarramah. Before they enter, people are sent in to scream that don't fight this army. Enter into this house, no one will touch you. Enter in the haram, no one will touch you. Go in your house, no one will touch you. Don't fight this army. Everyone just pulls back. And as that Muslim army enters, this verse that was read, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهَ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ, that indeed Allah showed the truth of the dream of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. You will indeed enter the haram when Allah wants you to enter. The following year they were going to enter, but the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being delayed by 1 year was going to teach the world a message. That our relationship with time and the relationship of time with us, we always become very overexcited or over impatient. And we say, when is it going to happen? Why is it not happening? So time will say, my friend, when Allah's decision will come, it's going to happen. Before that day, don't rush me. As for me and you, time is going to say, are you doing what you have to do? You got a deadline, make sure you get your deadline. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Rahimullah, gave an example. He said, it's written in the books of the wise, that there was a time, and on this incident we will end it. He said, there was a time in the past where what we call predestination, taqdeer. And then something called tadbeer. Tadbeer means make your plans. Do what you have to do. Tadbeer and taqdeer were having an argument. And by Almighty Allah, these are things that take their own forms. So tadbeer, planning, said to taqdeer, predestination, that people are just too lazy. If they prepare properly, they plan properly, they alert, they know what's happening, problems don't happen in the world. And Taqdeer said to Tadbeer, man must plan. But as long as the decision doesn't come from Allah, the plan will not give its fruits. Now as they argued, so they were told, okay, let an exam take place in the world. Tadbeer, planning, you got your choice, it comes down in the form of a man. It finds one person sitting on the side, very poor person. So tadbir in the form of a man says, what are you doing here? Can't you do some work? He says, I got no capital. He says, if I give you something of value, you'll take this here to the market and you'll do business. He says, definitely I'll do business. He says, here, take this. This is a bag full of wealth. He opens it, he looks shocked. First thing you think about is, run home, because tell your wife, good news, good news. Poverty has come to an end. But as he's running, 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 he says, how can I go and tell my wife when I'm so dirty like this? Look at my condition. So he says, the only thing I can do is, let me go take one bath in the stream. Looking at the stream, so he says, now this gold coin of mine, where am I going to put this? So he says, best place to put this gold coin, I push it in my pocket. And then he puts his kurta on the side, and then he's swimming in the water now to take his bath. As he's cleaning himself, the water comes. The level rises, and that kurta of his, which is on a nice rock now, just goes down into the water. And when he comes out, he starts looking around. Now, where's my kurta? Now, he's not worried about the kurta, he's worried about the coin in the kurta, gone. So he comes home very sad. One law you learn from here, if ever you hit a miss in business, don't tell your wife. Just let it go. Don't tell. Because she's not going to give you any solace. And you can say, okay, don't worry, I'll go make burger for you, relax. He told his wife, what a stupid man you are. How can you go to bath when you got money? That's the only time you think of bathing. So he went back quiet, sad. She's irritated. She He says to him, you know, my mother told me I shouldn't have married you. You're good for nothing. There's nothing in the house. Go out. Go get something. So as he comes out, Tadbir comes back to him and says, I haven't seen a more foolish man. How you go bath when you got money? So he says, okay, see ya. I'm going to give you another chance. You take this one jewel, and you go and sell it in the market. But please now don't go and do stupid things jumping in the water. You take this thing. So as soon as he grabs it now, he says, what's the first thing to do now? So he says, if I'm running now, what if someone sees me and this thing is shining in my hands? They'll pull it. He's thinking, where do I hide this thing? So he had like a turban. Best place to put in my turban. So as he puts it and now he's running. As the thing is shining in the sky, you get one bird flying. And that bird picked up the shine. So that eagle comes down. And it's coming. And what a speed that falcon eagle comes and just cracks. And he just feels something. He looks up. Hey, my money. And that thing is gone. As he's going now back into the house, his wife says, you got anything? He says, you know, I met one man who gave me a ruby. He says, where's the ruby? They're gone in the sky. How can you put a ruby in your head? Normally a woman says, you got no brains. Normally the woman is called, I got no brains, and you are known as the woman in the hadith that you got less brains. So you must remember this one. Next time your wife says, you got no brains, you must say, if I got no brains, then you are even half than that also. So you won less. So Tadbir said, one more chance. As this man is walking out, he says to him, the wife chased him now. She said, you go and go cut firewood. Get out. How could you lose this? Tadbir meets him again one more time. And says, my friend, this is the last chance. You go home, your house is around the corner. I'm giving you this here, you take it like this. You take it immediately and go home. After you reach home, you sit with your family, discuss what to do with this. He says, get into the house, that's all I'm asking. So he takes it, he grabs it immediately, now he runs. As he's running, he's saying, now she'll see. Comes to the house, she's not there. That's our woman. She's gone to visit her neighbor. So now he's looking around now. He says, where's she now? And I can't go with this here outside, I have same problem. So he looks around, he says, the only place to put this thing at the moment is where you have that fire, the logs. He says, no one's going to come by my logs and no one's going to light the fire at the moment. Because it's not like at the moment they need to light that thing. So he puts it under the logs and then he goes out. He says, where's that woman now? I need to find her. He goes out. The neighbor's wife, now she needs logs. So she comes in the house now, knocking, no one answers. The door opens, screaming, like, where are you? And she sees the logs. They say, my neighbor doesn't ever worry. I'll take one, two logs and tomorrow I'll return it. As she goes and she moves, to what's this? She looks around. She says, can't be man. Do they know about it? And she takes it away. And she goes. He comes. He finds his wife. He says, where you are? He said, come, I'll show you. Come, go back in the house. He says, come, I'll show you something. He says, what are you talking about? He says, by the fire. He says, what's by the fire? He starts moving the logs. He says, where is it? He says, what? He said, I left the gold. He said, you leave gold here. How can you leave gold here? So that's when she tells him, she says, I'll take this log and knock your head. She says, we got no food, we haven't even got... She says, hey, where's my logs? She says, there's no logs also for the fire. She said, go right now and go cut. Go. So now he leaves. And Tadbir says, I'm fed up with this. Can't even make one rand. Then Taqdeer says, let the decision of Allah falls. That means that I've given up. This man goes outside. He is very, very sad. Very, very sad. As he's going, he got his small axe and he got his small string and now he's climbing. As he's climbing, someone is walking past him and says, you know what, you want to buy fish? What am I going to do with fish? He says, just buy this. So he looks at the person and says, how come? He says, one dirham. He says, I only got one dirham in my pocket. Here's one fish. He comes home. He doesn't even want to meet his wife. He says, yes, fish. He says, I want to make the fish. You got logs. Go get logs. So he leaves the fish there. She's irritated. As he's going, he goes, she's cutting the fish. And she cuts the fish. As it opens, she's one gold coin in that fish. Because when the thing went down and the gold coin came, when fish came in, it came in the stomach and landed. She said, gold? She says, this is money. Like, loudly starts screaming, wow, wow, where are you, where are you? I found it, I know. As she's screaming, the neighbor's wife, she gets parashan. She says, maybe she found out I stole it. So quickly she starts come running, running. She says, you know what, I came to your house yesterday, there was this here, is it yours? The woman looks at it. She says, my husband told me about it. What happened? She says, no, no, I thought, you know, if I leave it there, someone will steal it. Yes, it's yours. Let's take it back. As for uncle, he's sitting on top of a tree cutting. As he's cutting, there's one nest there of one bird. He looks and says, hey, my pearl is here. He grabs his pearl. He's running down. She's running from outside. She says, I caught it, I caught it. He says, I caught it, I caught it. As they reach there, the two of them say, that the Qadir then says to the Tadbir, when the decision of Allah comes, your gold will come, your diamonds will come, your emeralds will come, everything will come. But don't ever rush the decision of Allah. This is the end advice. Our relationship with time, we got our work to do. Relationship of time with us, don't rush the decisions of Allah. People today are getting too impatient. They are saying, I'm waiting so long, it's not happening. I'm knocking at the door, door is not opening. All of those sentences, this time is saying, I'm the boss. I am on the decision of Allah. Wal asri, Allah took an oath on me. You don't rush. And time is asking, man, what about you? Are you making your deadline or not? Allah tabarakala, let it be that all of us grab the occasion when we can. When you give 2 rands, give it today, don't wait for tomorrow. You want to smile to someone, make it today, don't wait. You know in your heart you want to say sorry to someone. And every time you want to pick up the phone or send that message, something tells you, just no, no. You want to. Husband and wife is fighting, she's looking at the husband at night. Something is telling her, just say sorry. Something is telling you, just say sorry, then pride comes. Say, I won't say it. I'll say it tomorrow, that night someone passes away. There's no tomorrow. Don't play with time. Grab the occasion when we can. May Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us all the ability that we grab the best of occasions. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.